Hey everyone, welcome to the Pot Awareness Podcast, and thanks for joining me. This podcast is specifically for about educating and raising awareness for animals and rescues and organizations across the United States and world. It really goes a long way towards this mission when our listeners rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and all of our other podcast platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on our official website at pawawareness.org and on social media at TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at pawawareness_podcast. You can check us out for all of our latest bits and clips of our podcast, as well as Pet of the Week and Pet of the Month. If you're listening and involved with an animal rescue organization or have a story of your own that you want to share, reach out to us at info@pawawareness.org and we can get you on the podcast. Thanks for watching, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Hey, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Paw Awareness Podcast. Today, we are joined by Sandy Branham and Jonathan Russ of Paws out in Daytona, Florida. And I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce about their organization. This is a student-ran organization, from what I understand. And I want you guys to go ahead and introduce what it is that you're doing and the issues you're tackling over there in Florida.
Hi, I'm Jonathan. I'm the current president of PAWS over in Daytona Beach. We are located on Embry-Riddle campus. And basically, our main goal is to TNR, trap and release, and protect the cats and basically any animal on Embry-Riddle campus. That's our base goal. On top of that, we also foster any kittens that or younger animals that are born onto campus, and then we try to adopt them out to anybody who is connected to Embry-Riddle in any way. That way, any cats that are born on campus or anything like that stay with the campus in some sort of way by either a student, a faculty member, somebody who used to go there, alumni, whatnot. So, that's our basic premise. We do trappings like the TNR. So we trap cats. We get them fixed and neutered so there's no overpopulation and whatnot. We feed them supplements in their food. We feed them twice a day to make sure that if there's not enough rodent population or whatnot for them, they're still, you know, getting the nutrients they need, getting the right amount of food they need and whatnot. And it's also kind of a social aspect. It's come to be where a lot of students have started to see the cats, notice the cats, interact with the cats. Obviously, they are feral cats, so you can't, you know, go pick one up and play with it and whatnot, because it is feral. It has feral tendencies. But some of them are a little more friendly. They know your face when you feed them. So it is kind of a social aspect of letting people de-stress by hanging out with cats on campus. Because, like you said, we are a student run club with good faculty advisors to help us with any questions that we have and whatnot. But the main core, we vote as a students. We run the club as students. We make decisions as students. So we try to balance our student lives with helping these animals in the campus, on the campus, around the campus as much as we can, whether it be taking them to the vet in the morning or trapping and releasing them to make sure overpopulation doesn't happen.
That's really cool. How did this come to be and how long has it been around? What were the logistics of setting this up as like on a college as opposed to just a traditional rescue? This is the first student ran organization I've talked to like this.
Yeah, I can give you a little bit of the history. So PAWS, PAWS was created by the original faculty of staff advisor was a woman named Evan Blass, who worked in our College of Business, and our inaugural president was a master student at the time, Katerina Barova. And they noticed that we had a, you know, cat colony on campus because they were begging from the students, you know, sitting outside. We're in Florida, so it's, you know, lots of outside food activity, and the cats were kind of swarming. We used to have modular buildings in the middle of campus, so the cats were kind of living underneath the mobs. So Evan and Katarina went to faculty administration, and it was a really long, almost a year long process to get administrative approval to be able to have the club. Because of course, there's always lots of misperceptions about feral cats and that kind of thing. And there are, you know, people who are allergic and lots of concerns. So we worked a lot with the safety and security advisor on campus and our administrators to get permission to enact the club. And administration was actually really interested in it being a student-run organization so that it would also, like Jonathan said, enrich the lives of the students on campus. So the cats are all what we call working campus cats. They have a job. They help us, like Jonathan said, control the rodent population and keep down pests on campus. And we started with a feeding station. That was sort of the first official action. Our facilities department built us a really nice outdoor feeding station where we have storage and we feed the cats twice a day, like Jonathan said. And then we finally started TNRing in February of 2018. And we've been going pretty strong since then.
That's really exciting, and to hear a college do that. And realizing too that, hey, there are some obstacles that you guys had to overcome to even get this going, and yet you still did. And what would you say? I know that you mentioned there were some obstacles just addressing to the, letting them know, hey, this is for the good of the campus, the good of the cats. What was that? How long does a process like that take to instate a club like this? Just for any, maybe if someone at a college is listening.
I think it definitely depends on the campus. We have the benefit of being a rather small campus, which is nice. So we had a little more direct contact with administrators than maybe you would have at a huge state school or something like that. For us, it took about a year to be registered as an official student organization, because there are a lot of kind of steps that you have to go through that process. But the great thing about that for us is also that since the club is a student organization, it is eligible to get funding from our student government. So some of the funding from PAWS does come from our Student Government Association, which helps us cover the cost of food and things like that. I think the biggest hurdle was really just kind of meeting with people that didn't have a lot of experience with feral cats and kind of explaining to them, like, no, we can't just round them up and, you know, take them all to the Humane Society, because then new cats are going to move in, right? And we're going to have this problem over and over again. So, of course, they were concerned with, you know, student safety, making sure the cats weren't going to injure any students, safety and trapping. So we also had a lot of local organizations, our Humane Society, come over and train the students initially when the organization got off the ground so they could do all of the trapping safely and not hurt themselves or the cats. And it's been going pretty good. I know a lot of universities have similar programs that are often unofficial, right, that are run by faculty members. But I think having the students be in control is really a unique thing as far as what I've seen anyways.
Yeah, that is really unique. And I think it's awesome. And I want to ask Jonathan, too, like, just curious, I saw that you're president of this organization. And it's just, as a student, what are you majoring in, and how has this impacted you as a student going on for whatever you're going to do after college?
Yeah, so I am currently studying mechanical engineering with an emphasis on energy systems. So it's a tough major, especially at the school I'm going to. Embry-Riddle has very, very high standards for its engineers. So it's, you know, you take a lot of tough courses. But when I got introduced to the club, it was something to de-stress. We did live TNR. So it was really nice to be able to go out after all my homework, because we do it later at night, because that's when the cats like to come out a little more. It was nice to, you know, have a full day of, like, you know, 4 or 5 hours of classes, another 2 hours of homework or something, and then go out, meet with these people and go to look for cats, try to help cats, go feed the cats and hang out with them. And on top of that, I am very, very fortunate to have my own place to live off of campus. So when kittens do come in, I am able to foster them if need be. And currently I do have three of our, our only three fosters left, because we did get a big influx over the summer like normal. But yeah, I am very lucky to have three of the fosters. And I think the best part about being able to foster is just the de-stressing capability. Like being an engineering major, at least at Embry-Riddle, and I've heard from other colleges, it's the same way, but it's a lot of stress. It's a lot to learn, take in every day. And, you know, it's unfortunately, it's not like a job. You can't just go home and not like worry about it. You have to continually worry about it. So when I come home to the apartment, it's nice to be able to have, you know, that like little, it's a piece of campus, but I also get to just like de-stress with it, have fun, relax, pet it. And I actually open up my apartment to any of the club to come over and do the exact same thing. Cause personally, I think that like, that's one of the biggest benefits of having this student run club is that you can, you know, have these kittens that came from campus that are a part of campus that you feel like you're connected to already. And you can use them to help you get through your college life to, you know, de-stress, to have fun, whatever, not worry about school for like a few seconds, be able to give them treats, play with toys, run around with them, do whatever you want. So I think it's a very vital part of at least my college life in making sure, you know, I'm not stressed out about every little thing, every second of every day.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. And that's really cool to hear. Just your interaction and just that whole side of the story. So I think it's amazing that you guys are doing that. And how many, I know that you mentioned that you kind of briefly mentioned there was an influx of cats during the summer, but typically speaking, I guess, how many cats are you guys dealing with across the course of a year that you're trapping and neutering and stuff? What does that look like?
I have the numbers historical, and then I'll let Jonathan kind of come up with the yearly estimate. I haven't been doing the trapping for a while, but we've had a total of 123 cats go through our program, with 38 released back to campus and 70 adopted, and then our three that are in foster care right now. So I think one of the great things that we've done is be able to adopt out more cats than we're returning to campus. Most of our adoptions are kittens, as Jonathan said. Summer is always our influx because, you know, spring is kitten season. And then on summer, the students aren't on campus as much because we are such a small university. So the trapping tends to take a little bit of a slowdown over the summer. And then often when they come back in the fall, they're faced with a couple of litters of kittens that they have to then find homes for. My two cats came from Embry-Riddle's campus. My mom has three cats that came from Embry-Riddle's campus. So we all have a little part of Embry-Riddle with us now.
That's amazing. Everybody gets cats. Cats for everybody. Just here you go. Oh, that's great. I feel like you guys are pretty established now. You've been around for, you know, 3 years. What are some things the organization, what are some things you guys are working on currently? And I guess carry that into the new year, 2022. What are some plans for the organization?
Yeah. So right now, it's cool in the club. So we do have that feeding station that Sandy mentioned from the very beginning. Unfortunately, because we're in Florida, there is a lot of weather and it's very inconsistent. So the box gets hammered. We've had a lot of construction recently on Embry-Riddle campus. It's had to move a few times. So unfortunately it's starting to get weathered down and the nature is starting to take the most of it. So the biggest thing that we're doing right now is we're actually, going to start talking to SGA. Like, Sandy said, we do get a lot of our funds from there. They can fund us in any way they feel, and we can ask for certain things. Our biggest thing is going to try and get this new feeding station, because right now we've gotten a very big influx of new members, and those new members want to be able to feed. So we want to not only make the new feeding station and just have it like so that it's not falling apart or weather, try to make it weather resistant and whatnot. We also want to try and make it user friendly. So we're going to try and compartmentalize certain things. We're going to make sure we're going to have a little weatherproof pocket so that there's flyers in there that have exact instructions through that, that our trapping coordinator is going to put up, stuff like that. And on top of that, we actually worked with someone in the faculty in the College of Arts and Sciences. I can't recall his name, but he helped us with the first feeding station. We actually installed cameras and RFID chip readers to read the chips that get put in them when they get neutered, just to let the vet know, like, hey, this is Paw's cat. This isn't just like a random cat off the street. So we're going to work with him again, and we're going to get cameras and set up so that a student, you know, maybe they can't get out of their room. Maybe they can't come over and see the fosters. They can log on to this website, or anyone can. They can log on to this website and it'll bring up a camera feed that we'll have going, and you'll be able to see these cats walk in and out of the feeding station, eat, you know, play around, snuggle up against the camera. I've seen so many videos of them just hanging out, having fun, playing with each other. And then on top of that, it'll help us keep track of, you know, what cats are coming through. You know, if we don't see a cat come through the RFID chip reader in like an entire semester for the feeding station, we might go looking for it, like try to look out for it. Cause luckily we have an amazing secretary that's been there for about 2 years, almost 2 years now. Her name's Laurel, and she is great. We have a catabase, which I believe is where Sandy pulled the numbers from. Yeah. And our catabase has basically, like she said, every cat that's been through our club that we've been able to document. And for the most part, it has, you know, release date, trap date, where if they got adopted, where they got adopted to. And then it has their RFID chip. And it has their appearance. That's like the biggest thing. And so like, if we don't see their RFID chip come through, we can be like, okay, what cat are we looking for? What's the name? What's the color? Whatnot, stuff like that. So that's our biggest thing right now, is getting that box together, making it as weather resistant as possible so it can last as long as possible, and getting the new technology in there so we can continually keep track of the cats, make sure they're healthy, make sure they're, you know, getting the right amount of food, they're not eating too much, not too little, and having that camera up for basically anybody, students, faculty, people who don't even live on Embry-Riddle campus, just to be able to see that and interact with feral cats in any way possible.
And I just want to add to that, it was Dr. Mike Williams from the College of Business that helped us with the RFID. He was kind of involved at the very beginning of the PAWS project as well. He got some grants to get us some microchips donated, and the RFID equipment and the cat cam, so to speak.
That's amazing. Yeah, that it sounds like you guys are like so many different types of people behind this project. It's not just one type of person. You have an engineering major. Sandy, what department are you in again? You're in the
I'm in the College of Arts and Sciences, so I teach humanities and communication classes.
Yeah, see, it's just like there's a wide variety of people, and I think that's so exciting. And I had to ask too, I know that you kind of mentioned, hey, you know, people eating outside, it warmer weather, it just, you know, feral cats are going to happen. How did you guys notice anything when I'm not sure what Florida's lockdown period was like in 2020. Was there anything there in terms, did that affect organization or the trapping or anything like that? How did that work?
I'll let Jonathan talk about the trapping part. We had a shutdown after our spring break in 2020. We did not go back to campus for the rest of the semester. Everybody was pretty much online. Summer session is slow anyways. I taught online over the summer. I don't know if there were summer face-to-face classes. I think there were, but very limited. And then we sort of started going back, and we're fully back now. But like you were saying, we are lucky enough to have lots of staff and faculty members that are committed to PAWS. So we had mostly staff and faculty feeding that lived in Daytona while the students were not there. Jonathan, you want to talk a little bit about trapping?
Yeah, so like she said, we did have a lot of, we're very thankful for the faculty because there was these very nice ladies and gentlemen over at the Mail Center who they are right next to the flight line and they feed the cats normally. And so we reached out to them as a club saying, like, listen, none of us, because no one in the club actually lives in Daytona. We're all either from other states, farther up in the state, south of the state, whatnot. So we asked the faculty, we reached out, sent them a letter and said, hey, like, is there any way anybody lives in Daytona and can help? And we had plenty of people go out there, make sure they were fed and whatnot. Unfortunately, our trapping, when COVID did hit in the spring and we did shut down for the summer, we unfortunately did not trap throughout time. We did kind of feel it. I actually think that we didn't get that many litters. I believe we only got one litter that fall that we came back. But we did get two or three dropped kittens, which is also unfortunate that we have to deal with because we are an open campus, which I love. I love that we're open and we can walk in and out, whatever. The only struggle is over the summer, and I'm sure especially over COVID, there's something that happens every summer. It's hard to stop. People know that we're a thing. They know that PAWS is a club that will take in cats, that will help cats, and animals. So what some people do, in the Daytona Beach area or wherever, they'll actually come to our campus. They'll drop off a cat that they don't want or a kitten, that they're not ready to deal with, or they feel like they don't want to because they know either we'll take care of it or it'll live with the other cats around. And so unfortunately that happens. I hate to say it, but the nice thing is we do get to give it a home that won't happen, which is the best part. There was, I believe, two or three kittens that were definitely dropped over COVID. Over the semester that we were shut down for COVID, when we came back that fall, we were able to get them and trap them. And actually, two of them got adopted, and the third one actually went to a sanctuary because she ended up having a upper respiratory infection. It's a special one that she can only be around other cats that have the same one. I can't remember exactly the right name for it, but she went there. And she's living her like best life. We get pictures every semester of her. She loves it. But yeah, so unfortunately we didn't get to trap that summer, but as soon as fall came back, even though we were still kind of like half face-to-face, half in online, we still went out in groups of like five or six people. We had our masks on. We did everything Riddle allowed us to do. We made sure we went through our head leader for RSOs is Nagar. She's so helpful that you can ask her like any question. And so we made sure to run it through her to make sure we're doing the right thing, how many people we can have, what we're doing, how far away we have to be. But we made sure that fall that we still got back out there, did exactly what we needed to do because, we didn't want, you know, there to be an issue on campus with the cats.
No, I think that's awesome that you guys are still, given those circumstances, you're able to still, you know, give those cats a home. And when people do drop them off, and which is an unfortunate thing, I can relate to that. I grew up on a house right off the highway, and that's actually probably why I'm doing this podcast right now, is because of just so many cats that were just dumped off the first house on the highway, right? So I could totally relate to that. And what are some, I guess, what do you guys need the most, right? I know that, like, if you could have one thing to help you guys the most, what would you say that is?
I personally, for the club, I know it's kind of funny, everybody needs this, but like, it's time and people. I think, you know, being a student organization is amazing, and I think it should stay that way forever because it's just that interaction is too great. But I also think there's an aspect of if you don't have enough people, you won't have enough time to do stuff. So I think the best thing for this club, like Sandy said, we're backed by SGA in terms of funding, and there are clubs that ask for a lot more money than we do. We are one of the cheapest clubs on campus, so that is not really an issue. Money isn't really the issue for us. It's more just people and time, being able to have people sit down and just go through meetings and go through planning stuff and whatnot would be the biggest thing for us. Is just having people be able to come in and do that. Those kind of tasks that maybe we can't do, we can't get time to do, which is unfortunate. But luckily, Embry Riddle accepted like one of the biggest freshman classes semester. So we got a massive influx of almost half of the club was put back into it. So we almost got 50% of our club. We put more people in. So that was super nice. And it's all people that like care about Cats, that wanted to learn more about what we do. So just having those people and meeting more people is always going to be something that I think the club will strive for, especially if the campus gets bigger. I know, Embry Riddle's always looking to build something else, make something new. And I think with that, there'll be more Cats and we'll need more people to, help handle everything. We have a great group of people right now, but I think the more people, the better it'll get overall.
And I would just add to what Jonathan said, in addition to, more student members, staff and faculty involvement, community support as well. Right now, we're lucky with Jonathan, and our previous president often also lived off campus, so it's great that they can foster. But oftentimes when we have a couple of litters at a time, that can get tricky. So having folks that live in the area that are interested in fostering is great. And also having folks that are interested in adoption in the future and that think of PAWS as a place to adopt. Since we are such a small organization, we do kind of tend to adopt the Cats out to people we know through a friend of a friend, right? Who do we know that hasn't adopted a cat yet from ERAU? And we're our network's getting cat heavy, I guess. So as Jonathan can attest, since he has our three fosters right now.
Yeah.
No, that's so cool. Yeah, it's just, and I think that's great. People coming together and finding these Cats homes. And where can we find you guys at online? What social media are you guys on? I want to follow your journey. Everybody wants to follow your journey so we can see what's going on.
Yeah, I think our most updated and best thing to find us on is Instagram, and that's just PAWS ERAU. So it's super easy. I'm so glad. When I joined the club and I heard that was our Instagram, I was so happy that it was like so simple, so straight to the point. It wasn't like some weird like cat lover 84, like some weird name that we had to like get people to memorize. It's really easy. It's just our club and then or what your, whatever your animal has on it, PAWS and ERAU. So, it's Embry Riddle. It's ours. That's our best and most updated one. And then we have our Facebook, which I believe is PAWS Group, right?
It's I think it's Friends of ERAU PAWS.
Friends of ERAU PAWS.
Yeah.
Perfect. And those will be in the link in the description below for whoever's listening. You guys can check them out. I know I'm going to check you guys out even more. And Sandy and Jonathan, I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this amazing organization that you guys have with us. Thank you.
Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, really appreciate it too. Thanks a lot for sharing it.